In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those first words are often, you just don't even think about them, but this is exactly what pride is. This whole parable of pride is addressed to those who trust in themselves, who are overly confident in their own abilities. I was given a book recently to read by some friends of mine in Texas. It was about the Galveston hurricane. I guess, you know, down there is hurricanes all the time throughout the summer and early fall. And this hurricane hit in 1900 and completely destroyed the city. Businesses and homes were completely gone. Over 6,000 people got killed in this storm. But when you read this book, you discover that these deaths all could have been avoided. The reason so many people died was because of pride. What happened was the U.S. went to war with Spain in 1898, and it was fought in Cuba. The war was fought in Cuba. Well, after this, the United States won, of course, the war. It was a very short war. The United States basically took over in Cuba. The War Department was in charge of Cuba. And they were very disdainful of Cubans. And what happened was, in 1900, when the War Department was still in charge, they banned all weather bulletins from Cuba except those that were from U.S. officials. It sounds so ridiculous to us because I want to point out to you, the Cubans owned the telegraph that was being used. But the United States says you can't use your own telegraph to put forth any weather bulletins unless it comes from our officials. And they were just like, why is this so ridiculous? But they considered the Cubans to be, they're stupid. They don't know how to tell the weather. They don't know how to judge all these things. And in this, they canceled these weather bulletins at the peak of the hurricane season in July of 1900. And it's interesting that Catholic priests were in charge of Cuba's meteorologists. It's really, you read this, it's just amazing. The Catholic priests had dedicated their lives to the study of weather. There's a Father Benito Vinez. Father Benito Vinez. He had dedicated his life to the meteorological signals that warned hurricanes approaches. And storm after storm had utterly caught Cuba by surprise, until 1870, when Father Vinez took over as director of the Belen Observatory in Havana. And so after that, he discovered all these ways to tell of coming hurricanes from cloud formations and such that had been not known before. Now we have, of course, satellite, and our satellite tells us when these storms are approaching. But he set up a network of hundreds of observers, of messengers, and watchmen who would give signs and would spread the alarm when a hurricane was approaching. And when Father Vinez died in 1893, another priest, Father Lorenzo Gangoy, took over, and he did the same thing, dedicating his life to the study of these storms. Now, I'm telling you all this just to make this point, that the U.S. officials considered these Cubans, and the priests especially, to be beneath them. Even though the Cubans were better at forecasting hurricanes. And so they would not let the Cubans use their own telegraph to submit these weather reports, and we know what happened. The United States officials completely missed the signals. The storm took Galveston completely, almost completely by surprise, and destroyed the city because they never knew it was a hurricane until the very last moment, and then it was too late. And on September 8th, 1900, the city of Galveston, that had at one time been called the New York City of the South, was so completely destroyed that it never, to this day, has recovered. And I point this out to you because it was all due to pride. Pride thinking, these Americans thinking they were better, smarter than the Cubans, they knew it was going on, and that they could judge the weather signs better than the Cubans could. And I think that in a way, God allowed this terrible storm to hit the United States as a punishment for our pride. Because you also read, at that period of 1900, The United States was full of itself, was full of pride. They just thought they were we still do think we're the greatest country in the world, right? So, but it's more than that. We think that we know better than everyone else. That at that time, especially in 1900, that we looked down on other nations, on other races of people, and we just considered that the United States was the end all of everything, that everyone should be like us. And I think that in a way, God was showing us, punishing our pride. Proverbs chapter 6, which I just read with the Holy Name Society this past Wednesday, it says there are six things that the Lord hates. Six things the Lord hates, and then it says the seventh he detests. And so there's actually seven things. But maybe that would be a good subject for a sermon to go over the seven things. But the very first one is haughtiness, pride. That's the first thing that God hates. Thinking and acting like we're great, that we can do as we please, that we know everything. And this is exactly what modern man is, if you think about it. Modern man is exactly this way, is haughty. Don't tell me what I can or cannot do. I hear this all the time. You hear people talk like this all the time. The abortionists especially say this all the time. Don't tell me what I can or cannot do. Don't censure me. Don't tell me what is sinful or what is not. They don't want anyone telling them what to do. And traditionally, Americans have especially been guilty of this because ever since our country was founded, we have preached and taught that we are independent. The Declaration of Independence says that we're free. And so the attitude of the Americans has been ever since our foundation that we can do whatever we want, and what we like to do, don't let anyone else tell us to stop. We hate censorship in this country. We hate the idea that we have to submit ourselves to others, that we are dependent. And I'm pointing this out to you because you might say at the root of our American culture is this attitude that we are completely independent, and this is something God despises. Because he created us. And so because we are creatures of the Most High, his children, we are dependent on him for everything. I mean, this is all sacred scripture speaks of constantly, that we are dependent on him for everything. For our breath in our bodies, for the air we breathe, for the food we eat, for everything. We are dependent upon the Lord. And so, as Catholics, we must have a declaration of dependence. That is, we have to say, and to paraphrase Thomas Jefferson, we have to say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are subject first to God. That being totally dependent on him, we must submit to his laws, and that only by submission to the Lord will we find eternal life, true liberty, and being able to have the pursuit of happiness here below. It's all if we are submitted to God. And so we have to sort of overturn what we were taught when we were growing up in public schools, all this attitude that we are independent, we can do as we want. No, you can't do what you want. You have to always first obey God's law. And yes, God's laws are censoring us, stopping us from doing things we otherwise might want to do. But it's for our benefit. It's like parents giving their children laws and regulations and guidelines and telling their children, you can't do these things because it's harmful. I don't want you to get hurt. And that's what the Lord, our Heavenly Father, is saying to us. Follow my laws so you will be safe and that you will reach eternal life. And even in today's epistle, look at what St. Paul says. He says, no one can even say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And what he's saying is that you can't even make the least act of faith unless it's given to you by a grace of God. If you make an act of faith, it's because God gave you the grace to be able to do so. Now, let's look at this and think about the spiritual life for a few moments. Many times we become very discouraged in our spiritual life because we're not making any advancement. We're just, I'm not getting any better. And we get down, we get discouraged, and it seems like we're being humble. But in actuality, it's pride. Why do I say this? It's because when we're discouraged, we're thinking that spiritual advancement is due to our own abilities. That if we try hard enough somehow, we can do it. We can advance. And so when we don't see that advancement, we kind of get sad and discouraged. But remember, every act of faith, every advancement, we need God. And so this is why St. Therese's little way, the little flower's way of perfection, is so great for our modern world, and why St. Pius X called her the greatest saint of modern times. It's because her little way teaches true humility, which is complete dependence on God. She said, I'm too weak. And she often writes this in her autobiography, saying how weak she is, how she can't do anything, but she reads the scriptures and sees how Jesus will lift us up and take us to his heart. And that's how we will make advancements, by considering ourselves to be little children, to be as nothing, to be weak and unable to do anything of ourselves. But when the Lord lifts us up, we can do great things. This is, in essence, what the little way of St. Therese is this trust in God, this confidence in him, and complete distrust of ourselves, overturning everything, you might say, that the American mind, and especially in the modern world, is teaching us. It's overturning that. So remember this, my dear friends, that true humility is distrust of self and trust in God. Just like a valley is where the fruits are most produced. You see the beautiful valleys around here, all kinds of beautiful farmland at one time anyway. It was all beautiful farmland because the rain would come down from the mountains and water the valleys, where the crops just produced all these tremendous fruits. Well, in the same way, only those who humble themselves, who are brought low, will God's grace flow into. That is, we have to become like a valley. We have to lower ourselves so that the water of God's grace will flow down into us and will produce in us a fruitful life in this world and eternal life in the next. And so, my dear friends, we must be brought down. We have to realize our dependence on God. Galveston was an image of the soul, you might say, 100 years ago. It went from being, as I said, the New York of the South to being a very humble town. And believe me, I live near there. It is a very humble town now. You look at Galveston, who goes to Galveston? It's worthless, you know. It still has the beaches and everything. People still go there. But what I mean is that it's a very humble town now. And it's an image of our soul, that we have to be humbled. And we might not be, just like Galveston, we might not be as rich or as pretty as we once were. But as we get older, God is humbling us in order that he might bring us to heaven. Because only the little shall be saved. Only those who are humble in spirit he shall save, says sacred scripture. And so, as God humbles you, you have to learn to submit yourself to it, to humiliations, and to say, Lord, it is good for me. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.